It's good to have you with us. We are very privileged this morning to have you to join us on this last church service in our old venue. We've had many beautiful times in this building. I know that the hard work was put in, you know, just all of the preparations about, I think, 3.5 years ago. It became home for us here in London. So thank you for joining us this morning as we do our last live streaming from this service. We also realize that because of COVID-19, because of the lockdown, we can't gather in this place. And so we thought it's actually such an amazing opportunity to say goodbye by just doing it live from the venue. So it feels good. It feels good to actually have services. Again, not pre-recorded, but live. So thanks for joining us this morning. We've got two screen angles for YouTube and Facebook, so please bear with us as we won't always look straight into the camera. Still, we are so glad that you are joining us. So I just, from my side, want to say there's just a few announcements before I introduce the speaker. The first is that we have intercession on Tuesday nights, so please join us. We really enjoy spending time in the presence of God. And then on Friday mornings at 7:30, yes, I know for some it's early, especially here in the UK where it's still cold in the mornings, but 7:30 we have our ACTS course that we are, or not course, Bible study that we are going through together on a journey to work through the book of Acts. And so we'll be speaking on Acts this morning as well. We as a church are preparing ourselves for what God wants to do. We're studying the book of Acts so that we can learn from the first church. So before we do the offering, Nigel will be doing the offering this morning. I just want to introduce the speaker and then he can just come after the offering. Our speaker this morning is Eduard de Waal. He's a devoted leader, a Christian, father of a little boy called Dan now. He's married to Jen. They're a beautiful family. Yesterday, they came around and just stood in front of our house and came to bless me on my birthday. And little Dan stood there alone. He's only, how much is it, a year? 13 months. Yeah, and such a beautiful boy. They are a beautiful family, and just his heart for people and his ability to get excited about other people's lives, to get involved in their lives and to journey with them is for us such an encouragement. And this morning, as he's going to preach and preach out of the book of Acts and especially focusing on chapter 4, 5, 6, in that region, I know that he's going to bless you. Because he's a man of integrity. He's a man that really seeks after God. So I'm going to ask Nigel to do the offering, and then Eduard will follow soon thereafter.
Good morning. Okay. So today's offering reading comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. So we know that the seasons are determined by God. And for something to begin, something else has to end. So you think about the reason we have an Old Testament is because a New Testament was required. But despite the change, we know that God remains the same. And as we prepare to leave this place, we know God has been consistent and faithful throughout our time here. And we can rest assured that he will be no different wherever we move to and every step along the way. And that also applies to us individually in our personal relationship with him. So as you contemplate your giving, take a moment to think about the new seasons that God may be establishing in your life at this time. And that also may also include your giving. But whatever it is, let's embrace the new with boldness an encouragement, knowing that our God is faithful and always consistent with his word. Amen.
Lovely. Good morning, everybody. It is such a privilege to be here with you this morning. Last sermon in this beautiful venue of ours. I'm trying to imagine people sitting around and actually smiling and responding, and some of the latecomers still arriving. So yes, it's really special to be here today and to serve in this church and this body, overlooking beautiful London. In the background, we can see the city centre actually from here, the Shard, the London Eye. What a privilege. Also, just before I start, I want to say happy Mother's Day for the mothers, especially my own wife. It's the first Mother's Day. I was rushing out of home this morning to get to church, and I didn't even have time to do that. So at least I can do that online now through the screen. And also to my mom that's sitting on the other side of the world. She's probably celebrating two Mother's Days this year because she's got a son on the side of the world to say happy Mother's Day. Anyway, it's very precious. We really celebrate all the ladies, even the mums to be this morning. Yes, the gentlemen are celebrating the woman today. You guys are a blessing. I hope this is the last sermon for me to preach via screen because it's really a one-way thing, isn't it? But at least I've got a small audience here this morning, which I appreciate. So, yes, I'm going to open with prayer and then we're just going to get right into it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your beautiful presence here this morning. I thank you that you will anoint my words to bring the message from my heart with confidence and with boldness. And I just thank you now for peace in every home that's represented here this morning. That's where people are settling in and receiving this morning, Father God. I pray for your spirit to touch hearts this morning, Father God. Thank you for this beautiful season that we as a church are going through now, moving to a new venue. We thank you for open doors, Lord. We thank you for the right connections at the right time. We thank you for divine appointments, Lord, as we're reaching this community in the same way you did in Acts as you started to reach the world, Lord. And here we are 2,000 years later. You are faithful, and we honor you this morning as our King and as our Savior. Amen. Amen. So maybe just turn to somebody next to you this morning and say, I love you. Just going to give you a second to do that, even the audience here behind the cameras. Yeah, love you all. It's precious. It's a precious season for us as a church to be together. Sure, we haven't seen each other for a while, but we will soon. Summer is coming. Springtime has arrived. I believe that, even though it's cloudy outside today. Hopefully, your sun will come out later. Anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing all of you today, soon, and there are beautiful things on the way. If you disagree with that, please let's talk about it. Please reach out. Please do not isolate yourself in a place where you cannot see what's lying ahead in the beautiful seasons to come. Because if just reflecting on the last few weeks at intercession and church services, especially last week's sermon from Atlas, there are beautiful things happening in our midst. So let's focus on that. We are, like Achilles mentioned, we're on a journey through Acts for the next 2 months. Also, I really want to encourage you to try to join the Friday morning sessions. I know it's early, 7:30 in the UK. It's a one-hour session. Achilles and Christy making a lot of effort to go through all the verses in Acts, verse by verse, and really dig into the background and the context of it. So I'm going to try to be... I'm going to try to focus on the message that's on my heart this morning and cover a couple of chapters. So I'm not going to read through all of it. Thank you. I can imagine you're thankful for that. But we are going to travel through Acts. There's obviously all the countries represented around the Mediterranean, starting in Israel, Lebanon, moving into Turkey on the big missions with Paul, into Italy and Greece. A lot of these things. I mean, this book of Acts was written almost 2,000 years ago, but still today we can see the fruit of the obedience of these apostles and people that followed wholeheartedly after God. So really want to encourage you to keep with us and even catch up if you've missed a couple of sessions. Last Friday, it's not uploaded yet, but I had the privilege of listening to the recording where we actually covered quite a bit on what I'm preaching on today. So please do listen to that this week, and in the coming weeks we'll be covering
I think chapter 5, chapter 6 is coming. Chapter 6 will be next week, if Steve, I'm correct. I'm just gonna start with a quick testimony before I dig into the scriptures a bit more. And if there's one word that I want to hit home to this morning is the word perspective. And for me, I feel like recently I started losing perspective, you know, getting a bit negative and weighed down with everything happening in the world and pressures of life, having a little baby boy that was in the hospital for 3 weeks just the other day with his condition and the operations he had to go through. It's tough, and one can easily lose perspective on life, on things, and even on church life. So some of you might be in the same boat as me. Some of you might, you know, in marriage, you often find yourself in an argument with the other party. And the further you go down the argument, you realize you become more determined to prove your point to be right. You lose perspective on the actual conversation or the actual point of where it all started. And maybe it was just washing dishes or something like that. And it expands into something much bigger. So I'm repenting here on Mother's Day this morning, just, you know, even to over to my wife, because I often lose perspective in our conversations. And it's like taking the wrong turn off to a destination. And the further you go down this road, the more difficult it is to make a U-turn and come back. But I set that in background because the more I read in Acts, and I'm so encouraged by these testimonies of these people that were just obedient to Christ. And I'm actually felt like I've just seen a bigger perspective, a renewed perspective on really what God's plans are, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in my heart to restore the first love that I had, you know, many years ago when I actually first came to Christ. Alcalus touched on it last week, actually, when he spoke about the kingdom of God. And he mentioned about the kingdom of God being like a river, and you know, we can really enjoy the blessings of it as we come into the riverbanks, and the riverbanks actually being the principles and the will of God as he guides us to greener pastures. And it's almost like the losing perspective for me is in a place where we actually start seeing the kneading and the proofing process, like, you know, where, like, you would make bread, for example. It's one of those hobbies that I got during lockdown, I think, when I just, you know, working through the bread, and it sometimes feels like I'm a bread, where we feel like, you know, there's so many principles to apply and things to do, and, you know, sometimes you feel like you're falling short, you become discouraged. And I'm saying this because, you know, God's kingdom, when we enter God's kingdom, we also need to go through this kneading process. And this morning is really to just trying to encourage all of us to look at God's kingdom this morning from a different perspective, and not see the kneading process as something to avoid, but actually embrace. The church, the early church in Acts, really embraced God's will. He's leading the Spirit, even when things became really tough, even if they had to face rejection and opposition in extreme ways. So we're going to read about that today. Yes. If you are at the end of the sermon completely discouraged, you've obviously missed my message completely, and I want to encourage you to then phone me up and we can talk about it again. But this is really a message of encouragement. And we're just going to look at a couple of characters, Stephen, Barnabas, Peter, and John, and work through it. Before I get into the actual characters, there's another part that Hercules mentioned last week about the seeds, that you know, you spoke about from Matthew 13, where you mentioned about the seeds, the parables that Jesus spoke about, the seeds being like the kingdom of God being sown and scattered across the world. And we also being the seeds that God wants to scatter. And with spring outside, some of you are planting seeds already, tomatoes and strawberries and whatnot. I felt like it's quite appropriate just to recall that what he said last week, and remind us that God has called us as those seeds to grow. And I think it's a growing process, can sometimes quite be a challenge, because we need to be pliable and being molded all the time, like I just mentioned about the bread process. But God has called us to be the strawberries, to be the fragrance of life. in this season, in this period that we're living in. And I just see yourself as a strawberry today, and a good smelling fresh strawberry or any good fruit, you know, it's always nice. That's why I'm going to read. Some of you might have the notes shared with you via WhatsApp group, but please follow through the scriptures with me this morning. I'm just going to, before we get into Acts, I'm going to read a scripture from 2 Corinthians 2 from verse 14. And this is really the key scripture that I want to leave with you today, where it says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, the fragrance of death to death, and to the other, the fragrance of life to life." It's this fragrance, this aroma of Christ that I want to speak about today. And that's why I mentioned about the fruit, you know, good smelling fruit, or even think about a good perfume, even if you want. But God has called us to be the fragrance of life to our communities, to our families, to people that we come cross paths with. And they will be met with opposition and resistance, like we're going to see now in the book of Acts. And it's interesting that, you know, to one person you can be the fragrance of life leading to life, and you can do the same thing and experience the complete opposite. And it made me think quite a bit preparing for this sermon today, why that is. And looking through the book of Acts and these examples we're going through now, I think another key word is the word motivation. I think the motivations of our hearts gets surfaces quite quickly when we're under pressure. And I think, you know, even with me, when I felt under pressure the last few months, even with exams that came through, a lot of the motivations of my heart surfaced quite quickly, and Atlas can probably tell you a lot about that. Since he's behind the camera, you would know. So I've been going through this process of reassessing my motivations, and I want you to do the same today as we go through these characters in the Bible. They're obviously the ultimate examples of their motivations of their hearts was just to follow fully after Christ's leading, the Holy Spirit's leading. So let me just have a quick sip of water. One's mouth dries up quite quickly when it speaks so much. Anyway, so without further ado, I'm going to jump into Acts chapter 7, where we introduced by Stephen's encounter with a mob, people from Jews that were called freedmen. So they were Jews that were in slavery or captive in other countries, and they came back to Jerusalem. And how he encountered a really intense opposition to a place where he got stoned, got killed, and his death became the catalyst for missions across the world. From there, from Jerusalem, from his death, it spread. The gospel spread. People start moving to other places in the world. And it's such a beautiful story. Really sad, but Stephen was chosen as one of seven people to just serve in the church, to fulfill his serving function, and serve tables, distribution of food. It says there that he was of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, full of grace and power. He was doing great wonders and signs among the people. When he actually got put before the leaders, the Sanhedrin, his face shone like a face of an angel, and he even showed forgiveness while he was being stoned, while he was being thrown with rocks, being killed. He was asking God for forgiveness to these people. He was asking God to forgive them. One of these men that were actually standing bystanders was Saul, later called Paul, and he's the one that wrote most of the New Testament books. And it's a beautiful story of how Stephen's one sermon that he preached in Acts 7 led to his death, but in a bigger scheme of things, spread the gospel and also contributed to men like Saul, Paul, that radically came to Christ and eventually wrote all these books that we still read today. So Stephen, I just mentioned all these beautiful characteristics of his life. It's a beautiful example to us and how God wants us to live. And, you know, for some, he was the fragrance of life. Like we just read in Acts 6 verse 7, it says after he got appointed, his work contributed to God, continuing to increase. It says here, sorry, I'm trying to put my own words in here, but it says in chapter 6, verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So beautiful to see how God's word multiplied by these faithful servants of Christ. Obviously, like I mentioned, some of these foreign Jews got really upset, and we read on and from verse 10, they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. And they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." It's really sad, you know, how these motives of these men got so intense that they had to set up a mob against them to testify falsely against Stephen's actual intentions just because they couldn't beat him in argument. He was just so full of the Spirit. It led to him being put before the religious leaders, who also got so upset because of his sermon that they stoned him. So we see intense persecution. I've also got on the slides a map that even shows the current day, I call it hot list, or what is it called? And on the website called Open Doors, the UK, you can see where the heat zones are in the world where Christians really get persecuted. They state on this website last year, 4,661 Christians got killed for faith-related reasons. And that's just last year during lockdown. You would think we've moved on from what happened 2,000 years ago, but this is still happening today. People like Stephen getting martyred, being killed for their faith in other countries, and we are privileged here in the UK to have freedom of faith. So let's embrace it and love people unconditionally to the utmost best. So I want to, with Stephen's story, I want to encourage you to take courage today, to be that fragrance of life, just like Stephen did, which will obviously lead to the growth in the church, to the word being spread. I'm going to move on to the second example, Barnabas and the fellow believers the end of chapter 4, just slightly moving back in Acts. I'm going to read from chapter 4, verse 32. It's also on the slides that I shared earlier. It says here, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So we read here of this unity of heart and soul of the believers, and we're introduced to this man called Joseph, who was called Barnabas by the apostles, which means son of encouragement. And he's, you know, just so beautiful to see Barnabas' life and how he was willing to sell his property to further the kingdom of God. And Barnabas, I mean, this is the first we hear of him, but he plays a role right through to Acts and even, you know, the going on journeys with Saul or later called Paul. He plays an instrumental role with a man called Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark, amazing evangelist that proclaimed what's known to plant the church in Egypt eventually. And want to go encourage you once again to go listen to last Friday's episode that we dealt with a big part of Barnabas's life. But Barnabas was obviously a fragrance of life in this area. They encouraged people, and but then we just read in the next chapter, from chapter 5 verse 1, we introduced to other characters, Ananias and Sapphira, that also sold the property, but the opposite happened, where they actually got judged by God on the spot and they died because they lied to the Holy Spirit blatantly. They conspired together to bring their gift before God, but with motives in their heart that was completely the opposite of somebody like Barnabas, for example. And We might think, you know, it's quite harsh. How can this be? Where's the grace and the peace that we speak about? But then one needs to go see this in context of the fear of the Lord that was on these people at that time. It was the beginning of the church being established. These two people conspire together. And it's just really sad how selfish motives can be so opposite of the actual momentum that was being built here at the time. I'm going to just shortly read off in Hebrews 10, if you want to turn to Hebrews 10 in your Bibles, if you don't have the slides, where it actually summarizes this section and the beautiful unity of Barnabas and the fellow believers quite nicely. And I just want to jump to Hebrews 10 from verse 19. It says here, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from all evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." I mentioned about the river of life earlier. Let's be washed clean by pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider him to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglect to meet together. It's ironic that it says that during our lockdown when we are not allowed to meet, but we shall meet soon, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, the day with a capital letter, the end of days. So this is a beautiful little section up to from verse 19 to 25. Speaks of the true, you know, the motives of our heart being true of heart, full of assurance of faith, our hearts being sprinkled clean, clean hands and a pure heart, like David would say. And that for me was a good example of the what Barnabas and these believers in the end of chapter 4 represented. Just from verse 26, actually, it says the opposite. And I want to read this in context of Ananias and Sapphira that I just mentioned. It says here, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he has sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God." So, very decisive words here in Hebrews 10, and that little last little section is not on the slides, I realize, but it really just shows the opposite sides of this fragrance that we can have to in Christ to God. Some of it leads to life, and others to death. And may we this morning really assess our motives and our hearts, the reason we serve, the reason we give. May we be like Barnabas and the believers of that time that set such a good example to us of how it is to just rely on the Holy Spirit to lead them daily, surrendering and having the perspective of Christ in their hearts. I'm going to jump over to Peter and John, which we also two other characters that showed amazing boldness during this time. Churchill Hercules covered chapters 1-3 last week, and you know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter just getting up and speaking boldly before the believers. 3,000 people got added to the church on the first day of the church. So beautiful. But then we read on and from chapter 4 and 5 how they then get put before the leaders, the religious leaders. They forbid them to preach in the name of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. In the beginning, it says they were quite astonished because Peter and John were uneducated men. Then their attitudes changed a bit and they threw them in jail. They said they should stop speaking about this man, Jesus. And then there's the plots to kill them as well. And it goes on. I want to encourage you to go read it yourself. But one verse particularly, I'm just going to point out in Acts 4, 7 to 12. Quickly read it for you. Just after they heal the lame man, and this is what Hercules spoke about last week, where Peter told this man that was over 40 years old to stand up and walk, and he walked, and nobody could deny the amazing miracle that happened that day. And this is what Peter's responses to the religious leaders in Acts 4, 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He heals people. Peter and John claimed this with boldness, and I want to, that's an encouragement to all of us this morning to also preach the word with boldness in this time. Jesus is the way. He's the only name by which man can be saved. So their sermon of this preach that Peter had before the religious leaders obviously had the fragrance of life to many. And in Acts 5:14, we actually read, "And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women were added to the Lord, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on them to be healed." So it's astonishing, the faith of the people here, just being, you know, with the boldness of Peter and John and the miracle power that worked through them, that they could take people out in the streets, that just like the woman that grabbed onto Jesus's garment, that faith to reach out for healing. They did the same here, that just by Peter's shadow they could be healed. So encouraging to us. And so I actually went through some of this quite quickly. Maybe it's a bit of nerves, but I trust that the Holy Spirit is blessing you all, where you're sitting today or standing or wherever you are listening to it, to the sermon today, that by these examples of Stephen, by Barnabas, Peter and John, just their boldness, their courage, the unity that they showed amongst each other, that would be the same attitude on our hearts to go out, go forth and preach the gospel the same way they did. So Acts was the beginning of the church being established, and it was an encouragement to us. It was written down for us for that assurance of faith, to walk in the footsteps of these mighty warriors of Christ, even when we face the reality of resistance and persecution. I think that's the challenge. Some of us in church are actually called to be Stephens and called to be Barnabases, be called to be Peters and Johns, to go out wherever in the world that might be, or wherever in the city that might be. London is a great city with 10 million people to reach. And I want to encourage all of you to assess your motives this morning. And I think that's the one part I want to leave with you. Assess the motives for serving Christ. Is it for selfish reasons? Is it unselfish and willing to lay your life down for Christ, see his kingdom come? I pray that that is the case. And yeah, and I also want to, even for some of you that might have experienced rejection in the past, and the hurts that's come along with that, maybe being misunderstood even. I had the other day at work, I work for a Christian company now, but just before I was at work, my previous company, and one of my colleagues, I was doing one of the fasts that we do at church, the three-day fasts, and she realized, or she asked me about why I was not eating, said I was doing a fast, and she was so upset. I was so surprised that my fast offended her so much. And she was saying how irresponsible I am, and I hope I'm not driving. Fortunately, I didn't have a car, so I wasn't driving. But she was just going off on the stench in front of everybody on the table. It was about 10 of us. And anyway, it just shows you that you know, some people have different perspectives on things, and that was just my, if you want, a short moment that I just recall now of experiencing a bit of resistance. It wasn't even persecution. Yes, so may we love people to death. I think that's the message of today, even despite, you know, any resistance or persecution that we might experience in the future. I'm going to close off with another little short piece, if you can bear with me, from Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 again, which we read earlier, but it's from verse 32. It says here, "But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property." I guess that's quite appropriate for us today, moving out of our building, being plundered soon. "Since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but are those who have faith and preserve their souls." I want to leave that with you today. Encourage you. I hope you're encouraged by these examples of faith. And hope our perspective or just changed slightly to see the kingdom of God a little bit from a different angle today, and to realize that all these principles that we need to apply, the boldness that we can live by, is worth every penny, literally worth every penny. It's worth surrendering to Christ. So I'm going to be some time for ministry afterwards, I'm sure. There's a Zoom link that you can join in if you want to pray with us. Let me just close off in prayer, and may the Holy Spirit be with you in the coming week. Be blessed. Amen. Father, we are just so thankful, God, for your word this morning. Thank you, God, that we can see your kingdom today, Lord, for what it is, as a place that is safe, a safe place, a place of joy, a place of restoration, a place of healing, a place of abundance, God. You have called us to live in your miracle power, the same as you did in the Church of Acts. We call forth today the Stephens and the Barnabases and Peter and the Johns and the Marys that even provided their homes in this time for people, Lord. We call forth these people, Father God, today to step into their callings for all of us, Lord, to be the fragrance of life and aroma to this community that we live in. May you lead us. Guide us in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just want to close and thanks, Ed. Just as I was listening to this powerful message, I just felt some of you might be overwhelmed and even feel, listen, it's just amazing to hear the stories of Peter and John and even Stephen. Amazing stories of faith, stories that we grew up with, and maybe you this morning feel that, you know, God is not doing the same in your life, then I want to encourage you to actually respond afterwards and receive some ministry, because if I look at the book of Acts, the most amazing thing is it's ordinary men that God used to fulfill his promises. And the more we delve into Acts, the more you realize that you are inadequate, that there's nothing that you can actually do to establish the kingdom, but to believe in God. And for me, the beautiful thing is it was not because of the shadow of Peter, but the faith of that was stirred in and among the people to actually receive their healing. To receive from God, to be directed to God, and to receive from his fullness. And this morning you might be sitting at your home and you feel, if I can just live a life of significance, if I can just you know, move from the place of the ordinary to a place where I can experience a God that that reaches into my life and show interest in my life. And this is the God that I serve, the God that that wants to reach out to you and that wants to bless you with his presence and with significance in following him and establishing his kingdom. It's possible. And we want to encourage you to respond on the ministry so that we can pray for you and commission you to fulfill God's promises in your life. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for this message this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to partner with you and to be kingdom partakers, sons and daughters, Father, of you, and that we can experience the divine happening in our lives every day. We submit ourselves to you, and we ask you, Father God, to just use us for your kingdom's sake. But Father God, to bring significance in our lives, to have a purpose and a destiny in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.